The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new report, which the Minister for Health will publish this morning, warns that inadequate succession planning for the retirement of general practitioners could lead to GP black spots in areas around the country. The report details those numerous areas which could face significant, as the report says, capacity constraints, despite the fact that a sufficient number of GPs are being trained. Joining us now is Dr. Deirdre Collins, who is General Practitioner in Kilcullen, County Kildare, and Chair of the Board of Irish College of GPs. Deirdre, good morning.
Morning, Anton.
Deirdre, the report says, in essence, there is a quantum that is sufficient for the nation, but it's difficult to get certain areas properly served. Do you know why?
Well, this is a subject in which the members of the college and the college have been very aware for a significant length of time, and we've been talking about it, and we've published various reports over the last couple of years highlighting this. So we're very aware that there are two sides to this. We are training more general practitioners with the support of the Department of Health and the ministers. However, there are areas in the country which do not have sufficient GPs to serve the population.
And the report breaks down the Irish College of GPs has done a report that breaks down the GPs per 100,000 head of population. And the variance is very significant. There are some counties that have 100 or more GPs per 100,000, and there are some that have as few as 50 GPs for 100 per 100,000. In the latter category, Meath and Monaghan being particularly bad. At first glance, you might have thought it would be more rural counties that this would apply to. It doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, what you're referencing there is some data that we prepared last year on the back of an Irish Medical Council report that had brought this up, and then we looked at our own data. So yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a wide range. We would like for there to be 100 GPs per 100,000 people population, and the variation is quite wide. You're correct. Meath has the lowest number and Sligo has the highest number. Now, if you're to look at that statistic, Anton, itself, you will see that, in fact, it looks like the cities do quite well, whereas some of the counties around the cities can do not so well. So you've got Meath, you've got my own county of Kildare, and then Monaghan, Roscommon, Cavan and Clare bringing up the other areas. So yeah, there's a wide variation. And that, of course, goes to many issues, including societal issues of people having to buy a premises or rent a premises in various areas, whether it's an availability and then the rental levels, and then where they want to live. And so, you know, the GP needs to have a home and somewhere for their family to live and go to school and all the rest of it. I think to bring you back to this morning's article, what the statistics that we have in that graph are very valid. However, there are also areas within a well-served county, as it were, that may suffer because it is more remote. So I think in the article this morning, Mayo was referenced, Clare was referenced, and parts of Donegal. So while Donegal is high on that list that you have referenced, having something like 90 per 100,000, 90 GPs, there probably are areas there which are much less served than that number.
And does that mean that there are whole areas, this is where the black spot terminology comes in, are there whole areas where if a single GP retires, they get thrown into crisis?
Yes, I mean, your listeners will know that and you know that. You are aware, particularly if you're on your holidays around the country and you see in a rural area where there is a concern that the GP will be lost. Remember that a GP isn't just a doctor on his or her own. He also has a team of secretaries and administrators, of managers and nurses. And so the whole team is providing care, but the GP is the one who holds full responsibility for it. So yes, there is a concern. Now, there is some good news, Anton. The college has been aware of this, as I said. Our first report on this most recently was 2022. And we have done a lot of work on it. So last 2024, the number of doctors coming into specialty GP training rose to 350. And we now have almost 1,200 young doctors in training to be specialty trained general practitioners, specialists in family medicine. In addition to that, we also have a programme which seeks to support and educate international medical graduates who may want to come and work in Ireland or who are already working in Ireland, in order to support them to take part in our membership organisation and in that way enhance their delivery of care to a general practice population. We've been very grateful for the support we've had over the last few years from the Department of Health, and we really do look forward to working with the Minister, as she outlines in her article. She would like to see the completion of the strategic review, and this is so important for us, and we really do look to work hand in hand with her to deliver for our patients, because this is all about delivering what a general practitioner does. So you know what it's like when you go to your GP. I know what it's like when I go to my GP. You meet somebody who can take care of you in a holistic, whole-of-life manner, no matter what your ailment is, and also support you and advocate for you as you negotiate your way through general practice. Through your lifetime and through your health journey. There are many people who can practice medicine, but nobody practices medicine like a GP does. It's a different type of specialty to everything else. It's very important. The government have seen that. They've invested in training doctors to do that, and we're there to support that as well.
Do you believe that it is still an attractive proposition for exiting medical students?
So our statistics show that a lot of our exiting medical students who complete our intern year, unfortunately, the allure of Australia is still strong, and they do love to go and travel, and who would blame them? Our general practice training scheme is very popular. We, as I say, took in 350 trainees last year. We had many multiples of that applying. We have a lot of Irish graduates applying, and it's a very popular career. You know, look, general practice is a great way to take care of a patient from the day they're born and before it, all the way to the end. It's a wonderful place to work. And that joy of general practice is still there. However, there are huge challenges. And my colleagues out in, you know, rural areas are definitely under pressure in terms of getting locums, in terms of getting sick cover. And it's a worry for them because they care for these patients and they don't want to just give it up or retire, as they're entitled to, and not see anything there to replace them.
You spoke about working closely with the minister. One of the things the minister has said is that this report will offer ideas on how to fix the problem so that GP services stay accessible. What are the ideas that you would hope to see the minister implement?
So, as we say, we're looking for continued support. There's from launch care, there has been a huge shift in the delivery of care for patients out into the community. So we want to see that level of support for general practice to continue. We need to see support for locum cover and sick cover and maternity cover for our colleagues. And she does reference that there's a new programme that's just started this past month for GPs in the seat of rural practice support, that there is a HSE plan to or project to provide them with locums, and that's wonderful to see. As we've said many other times, bricks and mortar is very important, and looking at ways to support us in setting up in practice. And just the support for the whole career of the general practitioner. GP work now is a very different thing than it was even 10 years ago. It's very complex. People are living longer and healthier, and they have great outlook as they get older, and they're very involved in preventative care through chronic disease management. So there are many aspects of our delivery of care that are different to 10 years ago, and it's important that all aspects of the health service support that.
What does it mean for retiring GPs themselves? Because presumably if you are a GP who has built a practice, who has staff, who has a premises, in an ideal world you want to find somebody who might give you a few quid to take all of that off your hands. And if you can't, that must have an impact on your pension provision and retirement.
Well, the college is not in the position of discussing and advising on financial arrangements for our members. But to go back to what you said in the beginning, most GPs want their patients to have somebody that they know and trust as much as the GP who's been taking care of them for 40 years. I've been in my practice now for 30-something years. Patients want to know that someone like me is going to be there, and that's the priority for our members.
And do GPs as a profession have a tendency to plan for succession? If you're 30 years in practice, is it the norm for a GP to try to figure out, well, can I blood somebody to come up as the next generation? Can I figure out how to hand on the practice? Or is it a very personal calling where you say, well, I'm now finished, I'm retired, goodbye?
I'm not sure about blooding my successors, Anton. That's worrying. look, we're individuals. In my practice, we've always had a 5-year plan. One of my colleagues retired on Thursday, and one of the things that colleague said to me, they said, isn't it lovely? I'm able to go I know that everything is taken care of, that my patients are handed over to you and my younger colleagues, and that colleague is able to retire with just a clear head, and that's lovely. But we do know there are challenges for other people, you know, either because of the way their practice is set up or where their practice is set up. And they may have wanted to live in an area and loved it and all of the things that offer them. And then maybe that area isn't as attractive as it was to them in the past, whether it's because you can't buy a house there or because the GAA club is only football and not hurling. There's many, many different things. So we're as individual. I mean, I've always said GPs live and work with our patients. So we're as much part of the community as the patients are. So our community is our lifeline, and we're part of that.
Now, the Minister has said that in areas where there aren't enough GPs or where there's going to be capacity constraints, the government is going to work to put healthcare workers matched with local requirements into those areas. Do you know what that means? Is that locums?
Locums is a big issue, and I said it already. You know, you get sick in a rural area, your first concern is who's going to do the surgery tomorrow morning. You're having a baby, or your partner's having a baby, those concerns, or you want to take a holiday. I mean, like, you know, stats in the past have shown that like a significant number of GPs can't take leave for those reasons, and that's a really worrying one. So we look forward to discussing that with the Minister and see what plans, what thoughts she has on that. It would be very good to provide some support for that.
We spoke about how attractive it was as a professional tech, saying new GPs don't do what old GPs once did. They have become an expensive referral system to A&E. Is there any truth in that? Is there a sense that the broad spectrum of services, treatments and interventions that GPs used to provide are no longer the norm for a general practitioner?
I think it depends on what you consider to be the norm in the past. It depends on what you consider to be the norm in the past, Anton. You know, the days of the general practitioner having 30 people waiting for them when they open the door and they all troop in, and then that GP takes 2 hours or 3 hours off in the middle of the day to do four house calls, that's not a viable way of practicing general practice anymore. And it's not good medical care. I mean, you know, in our situation, I can provide much better care for a patient in the building with my nurse, with my ECG, with all my other equipment that I have, rather than being out on the highways and byways to see a patient. We're providing a huge amount of preventative care. So our chronic disease management program means that everybody who is under that program comes in twice a year. The patients love it. They have a wonderful opportunity to engage with the GP and the nursing team and to have all of their clinical situation reviewed and updated, and it's showing really good outcomes. The couple of reports that have come out, I think we're on the third, it's shown significant good outcomes for patients with preventative care through the chronic disease management program. So I would counter that and say that yes, things are different. We always, everything has to change in life. Things change, evolve. People's expectation of care and what they want to get out of their healthcare is very different, and what they want to get out of their life. They want to be healthy at 80. They want to be still driving their car over 80. They want to be doing those things. And those things also have changed, and they create a different type of approach to healthcare.
Now, likewise, things have changed in terms of expectations of careers, and a lot of careers are building in flexible working. Number of texters asking, what about GPs who would want to work either flexibly or who want to work part-time? Is it a career that doesn't allow for that?
General practice allows for any of those things. Again, what's part-time? I mean, we know that the average general practitioner's day is 10 hours work, okay? So, say you say that patient works 3 days, which some would define as part-time. They've already worked 30 hours that week, and they inevitably do some other work outside of that. They do their out-of-hours commitment. I was in our out-of-hours co-op last night for 5 hours, and we do our CPD out-of-hours. So there are other plug-ins to that. Increasingly, many of us have another role, like I have a role with the College of GPs. Other colleagues will be part of GP training as trainers. So they will take time out of their day to teach the younger generation or the newer generation. And we have people who support that in other ways. We have academic GPs. So it's a wonderfully flexible way of practicing medicine.
Deirdre, thanks very much for your time this morning. That's Dr. Deirdre Collins, who is GP in Kilcullen, County Kildare, and also Chair of the Board of the Irish College of GPs.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.